This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. A native Vermonter is heading back to the Olympics to compete in the mountain bike discipline. For the U.S. team, Leah Davison of Jericho will be in Rio for this year's Games and showed off her cycling skills in the London Games of 2012, finishing 11th in the women's cross-country mountain bike event. Among her many career achievements are first-place finishes in cross-country, Super D, and short-track events at the 2013 U.S. Cup Fontana City Nationals in California. And we are so pleased to have Leah Davison in our VPR studios just a little bit of time before she heads out to Brazil. Leah, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, for those unfamiliar with it, what does the mountain bike discipline entail? I mean, what kind of distances will you be going? What conditions? Is it a straight-ahead race?
Yeah, so this is just one event. You know, there's no qualifying, no kind of prelim events. We're usually on a 5-kilometer track, and it varies depending on the location. So the conditions can vary. We race rain or shine. It's a mass start. So everyone lines up, the gun goes off, everyone starts at the same time, and the first woman to cross the finish line wins.
How many cyclists about are we talking here when you say mass start?
Well, usually in World Cups, it's about 80 women, but for the Olympics, it's only 32.
Only 32, but still, that's a lot of cyclists lined up at once, and as you say, go, and that's it. It's a first-place finisher, and you get what you get.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the important thing is start position. So they call you up to the line based on your world ranking, and so that's crucial because eventually after the start, you know, the start is wide, but then the trail narrows down and does what we call bottleneck. So if you're stuck behind a group of women, you know, that's a real disadvantage.
Yeah, that's hard to get around. So do you know where you'll be starting from?
Yeah, I think I'm ranked 16th right now in the world rankings. So that means there's 8 women per row. So I'll be on the second row. And you can do a lot with the second row. So it's a solid start position.
Not too bad. Where did you start out in London?
In London, I was on the third row.
Okay, so this is a little better then.
Yeah, it is a little better.
What got you into mountain biking in the first place? Because I understand that growing up in Jericho, you were a very competitive skier and distance runner too.
Yeah, exactly. I ran cross country for Mount Mansfield Union High School, and I was also downhill ski racing up at Smuggs. Really into that. And a friend at a time, actually one summer, was like, hey, you should stop running around in circles on the track and get involved in the high school mountain bike club. And so he let me borrow a bike, and it was like love at first sight. You know, I felt like it combined both the like endurance and fitness from cross country running, and then as well as like the downhill kind of finesse descending skills from downhill ski racing. So there's a lot of overlap with both of them.
You were 29 when you competed in those London Games. As we say, you took an 11th place finish. What are your expectations and your goals heading into Rio 4 years later?
It's very different, actually. So I was thrilled to make the London Olympics. I was on the bubble of making the team, and I had good qualifying races, so I qualified for London. Going into Rio, it's a whole different ballgame. You know, having one Olympic experience under my belt really makes a difference because it's a huge joyful shock when you get there. So knowing what to expect is a great thing. Also, I've had now 2 world championship medals. So that gives me a little bit more confidence going into Rio.
And something we were talking about before we got the tape rolling, which just amazed me, is that you're coming off 2 different hip surgeries. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, so I got, I tore some cartilage in my left hip in 2010. And, you know, I took that season off and just rehabbed and recovered and worked on strength and with the plan of qualifying for the London Olympics. And I did that. And then, unfortunately, in 2014, I tore cartilage in my other hip. And so I had to have the same surgery. But that happened in February. So since it was earlier than the previous hip surgery, I had time to come back, you know, halfway through the season. And it was a very aggressive recovery, and I worked very hard. I actually, at that time in 2014, had the best season I had had to date. So I ended up getting a bronze medal in the 2014 World Championships, and it was just mind-blowing.
Did your doctor express any kind of, did you tell your doctor, by the way, that you were going to be doing this aggressively getting back there? Because I imagine he might have said, hey, listen, you just had a pretty major surgery here and you're doing an intense sport here. Wasn't there a danger of aggravating that same injury?
Yeah, so I work with this great athletic trainer, Bill Knowles, and he was up at Killington at the time. Those guys know him in there, and they know what to expect. So he works with a lot of elite level athletes. My doctor knew what he was getting into, but he did not expect me to walk in on the follow-up appointment. So I was supposed to be on crutches for a solid 4 weeks, and 10 days later, Bill was like, you're walking in there without the crutches. And I was like, you got my back on this one? And so I walked in, and Dr. Lightheart was like, where are your crutches? And I was like, I don't have them. But that took a lot of training. So I never did anything without preparing.
We've been hearing about a number of athletes, and for some reason, most of them seem to be big-name golf pros who are saying they're not going to compete in Rio due to health concerns related to the Zika virus. Do you have any worries about that? Did it cross your mind at all in making the decision to compete in Rio?
I never had a second thought about going to Rio. It's the Olympics. You work a lifetime for opportunities like this, so I never even considered not going. It's definitely a threat, and there are scary things out there, but I wasn't going to let it get in between me and my dreams.
Do you have friends and family who will be going over there with you?
Yeah, my family's going to be there, and some of my extended family and friends, so yeah, it will be great.
I understand that you also became quite the croquet enthusiast at one point in your life. I have to ask about this. And it came about because of another fairly serious health issue. What was that health issue? How did you develop these croquet skills from that?
Yeah, I love croquet, actually. As you could assume, my family is pretty competitive.
Yes,
my
sister, I would assume that.
My sister trains with me, and she's also a fantastic athlete herself. So we played a lot of croquet growing up. We still have the same kids' child's croquet set that we play with. That's pretty beat up now. But I had mono. I came down with mono, I want to say, in 2007. And I love being outside. I love being active. And really, croquet was the only thing that I could do because I was so knocked down.
Couldn't run. You couldn't ski.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I couldn't ride my bike. So I would make my sister or whoever was around play croquet with me literally every single day.
You're talking about the competition aspect of it. I could just see, like, you and your sister, there's that moment in croquet when you've got that moment. You can knock the other person's ball way the heck down the lawn there. You must have loved that.
You got that right. Yep. You can send them, and there's a lot of sending going on.
Beyond big events like the Olympics, you have started a nonprofit organization here in Vermont. It's called Little Bellas. Who is that for, and what does it offer?
Yeah, so it's a nonprofit all-girls mentoring on mountain bikes program. And my sister and another woman, Angela Irvine, and I started it in 2008 with the goal to give girls positive role models, because a lot of role models out in the media weren't really up to snuff, we thought. And also just to get more girls on bikes and use it as a platform to empower these little females with confidence. And we started in Vermont just with really 10 girls and 14 volunteer mentors, you know. So there was more mentors than girls that first year. And then kind of the word spread like wildfire through the mom network. And then that next year we had like 40 girls sign up. And now we have grown to become a national organization. So we have 23 different programs, and we've added 10 this year in 9 different states. And we have 530 girls signed up this season and growing. And we've also influenced more than 2,000 different girls over our lifespan of the program.
And speaking of confidence, what's your confidence level at right now before you head out to Rio? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Yeah, I think I'm in the best case scenario, really, to having come off winning a silver medal at the World Championships in Czech Republic just 2 weeks ago. So that was a dream come true. And I know I can be up there in the top 3 when it matters. Now that I've won that silver medal and kind of checked that off the list, and that was a dream come true, now everything is icing on the cake. So it kind of relieves the pressure a little bit.
Well, I got to say, we wish you the best of luck. We're being a little partisan here. Leah Davison of Jericho will be competing in the mountain bike discipline for the United States at this summer's Olympic Games in Rio. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in and speak with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.